It's the only one where he quotes a pasuk. He seems to be ignoring the earlier Gemara, which attributes even Eber Menachai to Adam. Again, the Lecha Mishnah and others don't like the suggestion of the Kesef Mishnah that he thought that other Gemara and pasuk was an asmat of the Alma. And it's really, the question is, why did he do any of that? And I was trying to explain that some people think it's part of a machlokas, how you understand the original, if there was an Iser Basar to Adam HaRishon, what was the nature of that Iser Basar, and it flows from that. But what I was suggesting was that may be true or not true, let's assume it is true, it doesn't necessarily solve the problem. The Rambam is still doing unbelievably mechudash things here. And what I was trying to suggest was that for the Rambam, Eber Menachai is the last of the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and the one that is attributed to Noach, Dafka, and the one that he emphasizes the most, because in a way, instead of coming in a vacuum and imposing a certain standard, it really comes in the context of a kind of compromise, namely Heter Basar Bat, you know, a remnant Iser of Eber Menachai, and it comes in the Parsha, which needs to reiterate Tzelem Elokim and the prohibition against murder and even against suicide and a different attitudes towards, you know, the animal kingdom and so on, because it's all about a certain perspective that, you know, Ben Noach has a stabilizing and a cohesive environment, one which, you know, promotes the possibility of a certain kind of avodas Hashem, but that you don't have what you have in Klal Yisrael, not just the numbers, but the nature of Chiyuvei HaTorah, which are very ambitious and very idealistic, and which aren't minimal and which are not mostly about the stability of society at a certain minimum, again, you know, precluding anarchy and promoting, you know, minimum circumstances, you know, that promote Avodas Hashem, but on the contrary, represent like a very complex, nuanced, balanced perspective. And that's why the Rambam, I think, you know, understood the Gemara and Nuntes as being crucial, and the Noach part, and the context in which, you know, this is introduced. It could be he holds that the original Azhara to Adam also included Eber Menachai. Maybe like Yilchidush Aran is a glimpse to the future, or maybe like the Ramah, because, you know, that really is still an Azhara. Azharatzuzui Misasa as opposed to Basar. And all the things that we mentioned last week, I don't need to repeat them. It could be all that is true. But at the end of the day, he's still opting, the only pasuk he's opting to quote here, and the only one he's attributing to Noach, is Eber Menachai, because it's in this context that the whole thing kind of crystallizes and becomes very illuminated as to what the nature of Shebetz B'nei Noach really are. And I was trying to suggest that for that reason, he also then, you know, quotes the other Midrashim, contrasting, oh, and then Avram came, and then Yitzhak came, and then Yaakov, and Amram, right, and then, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he's done that all through Mishnah Torah, like he can't give the Bnei Noach, you know, a single halacha, you know, without contrasting it to Klal Yisrael. But that's the whole point, that, you know, not to downgrade or to denigrate Shemitz Bnei Noach. That's a very important standard. It's an important concentric circle in Avodas Hashem. And there are a lot of great Bnei Noach. I don't know about the pilgrims, but maybe the pilgrims, who, you know, who have made amazing contributions and who, you know, the Chassidei Umos HaOlam, and Michachameim, or only Michachameim, the different Girsos and the Rambam, in the previous halacha, Perek Ches Halacha Yid Aleph, which we'll get back to. But his point really is that you should just understand, you know, Baruch HaLokeinu Shebaranu Lechvodo, you know, the obligations and responsibilities, but especially the opportunities of being Avod Hashem. And I think that's why he starts with Mila, even though, number one, Avram was Nitzaveh, even if he did other mitzvos, for sure. That's part of the discussion of the Nosa Kedmon. But why was this the first one that he was Nitzaveh? And I think, again, because Mila is holistic, and Mila is about balancing the totality of mitzvos, right? Lachnisa v'risa shel Avram Avinu. It's both a mitzvah of Teatzmo and a broader mitzvah, as we've discussed. That's why it's a bris, right? And it's all about, you know, the dialectic of spoken about this in the past too, of perfection and imperfection, right? On the one hand, completing yourself, on the other hand, maiming yourself. Both of these are true at the same time. It's limiting yourself as an acknowledgement of your limitations and as a reflection of sacrifice, and, you know, even against your perfection, and that itself is a kind of perfection. And the fact that you're not born perfect, but you have the capacity to reach that. So Mila's dialectics and its role in Kedushas Yisrael and so on is the perfect contrast. And of course, you know, each of the contributions of the Avos, and then the final, you know, Ad Sheba Moshe Rabbeinu V'Nishlema Torah Yado, isn't just that it was, but it's really the Shleimus of Torah and balancing out all the stuff through the Taryat. So I think that's really what's going on in this Rambam, and I think that makes it an extraordinary statement. It requires us to understand each level of contribution. I mentioned the view of the Maritz Chayes based on his discussion of Soto Yud Beis Haman Aleph, that the Amram part happens to be about Kiddushin, Kicha. But each contribution that is mentioned is something that apparently is unique to the, or characteristic of each one of the Avos, and, you know, adds a nofech, whether it's the different Tfilos or Gilanasha of Yaakov Avinu. But all this also just explains why we're so insistent that even when there is an overlap between Shemitz Benoach and the Halacha, that we always attribute Maimon Har Sinai as, you know, we always assign that as the basis, even for Shemitz Benoach. Again, the Gemara, in those two, three Dapim in Sanhedrin, and the Rishonim, you know, elaborating on it, and then the, you know, Achronim even more so, like, what's the big deal? And, you know, why is it so terrible to say that, you know, something that began as Shemitz B'nei Noach is incumbent upon us, B'toras B'nei Noach? You know, why does everything have to be under the rubric of Sinai? And then, what if it's only said once, and so on, said twice? But I think this is exactly, the Rambam is kind of answering it by doing all of this, and I don't think I'm darshaning it, I think I'm really interpreting it correctly. Namely, you know, Ad Shenishlema, Ad Sheba Moshe Rabbeinu V'Nishlema Torah Al Yado, every piece of Torah, even the parts that were there earlier, especially the Shemitz B'nei Noach ones, you know, assumes a different meaning in light of the expansiveness and the comprehensiveness and the nuance and the balance. So it all gets transformed in that way. Again, I always like to quote the Medrash. Those who were here last year will recall in Sanhedrin, you know, the Medrash in the beginning of Mishpatim, they have the discussion between, you know, Achilus, you know, and so on, that he wanted to be with Geyer, and then they said to him, like, you know, why do you want to do this? It's insane. This people's always persecuted, right? They're constantly a target. Like, why do you want to join up with them? And he says, because, you know, they know what was created, Biyom Rishon, Biyom Sheni, Biyom Shlishi, which is also just interesting. It's light of our first Hashkafa Shir of Bereishis, right? What's the importance of Bereishis? Every day, obviously, according to the Medrash, represents like a certain understanding or deep understanding of the relationship of the Bria also. So then he turns to him and he says, like, so what's the big deal? You know, go to sneak into their yeshivas, and say it this way, but, you know, and you'll learn the stuff. And you'll know what was created when, or that's so important to you. You'll know the values you'll get. So the beautiful ending of the Medrash is that he says to him that, you know, the only way you can really understand their Torah is if you first have a bris mila. So again, that's a very strong statement about Kedushas Yisrael, but more important, I think the point is, it's about what bris mila represents. Namely, this idea of the commitment, Kedushas Yisrael, and the way to balance all the other stuff. That's the point. Otherwise, it's just informational. You can't really get the full... You have to live it as a chiyuv, and you have to live it with all the, you know, ben dam ledam, ben din ledin, ben negel and noga, all of it. Yeah.
Kind of about the mila, just about the orla saliv. Like, where Tuvager brings from the friend, the reason why he said that the Zaydi is, would say the brach of lachni, so it's because he's chayat to teach some Talmud Torah, and until he gets his mila, he can't learn Torah.
Orla saliv? That's a much narrower interpretation. I would argue that the reason that there's Orla Saleh is because You have to have this perspective in order to, but could be. I just think the evidence is very strong. Anyway, so that's the, so then what you need to do in Shemetz B'nai Noach going forward is to analyze each one and to, that's what I was saying last time, to analyze each one. Of course, the things that constitute the contrast are obvious material, you know, that points to the uniqueness of Kiddush Yisrael. But, you know, I think what's more important is, and I really, really believe in this, that's why I keep repeating it, is that the stuff that overlaps, right, and that seems to be common, even more so. And that's what we mean when we say, but it you know, it's Nishneis B'Sinai. And if it wasn't Nishneis B'Sinai, then it only applies to Klal Yisrael. You know, it can't be not Nishneis B'Sinai and apply to Bnei Noach and to Klal Yisrael as Bnei Noach. Because that's the point. Even where you have the overlap, it's you're missing the total, you know, rest of it. And without that, the whole thing is just completely different. So last year, in the beginning of Sanhedrin, we discussed this about Dinim. Again, for the Rambam's Dinim, which is, you know, the enforcement of the other six, it's obvious that the qualitative difference is vast. But for the Ramban, you know, who thinks that non-Jews have a, you know, equally, almost equally comprehensive legal system, and for the Ramah's reading of the Ramban, which is that L'chatchila is Choshen Mishpat, so the overlap is tremendous. And that's what the Netziv, that's what we discussed last year. The Netziv in his Perash HaLashiltos asks, so, like, why do we say Mishpatim Bayidah Halaluka? Why is there an Isar Arkos? If the Ramah's right, that you basically want the non-Jews to practice Choshen Mishpat, right? What does that mean in terms of Kinyan Sudar and, you know, Kesef and Mashiach, right? But, you know, with some adjustments. So then, why was there an Yisrael Kos? And so on. But I think the answer is exactly this answer. The more the overlap, the more, you know, actually powerful are some of the differences. And essentially, last year we talked about called Pelech U'Pelech, Kol Yer V'Yer, right, the obligation to Moshev Dayanim. Seems like a small, according to the Rambam and the Ramaz and Girsa, that, you know, non-Jews have this obligation, b'kol pelach, and Jews have it b'kol pelach and b'kol ir. Then the Gemara says, Eda v'edim v'hasra is another distinction. So it sounds like two things. Number one, there are only a few differences, and it also sounds like, in some sense, we're more machmir in, you know, even without Eda, edim v'hasra, we're more strict in B'nai Noach law than a Jewish law. You know, you can ask the, you know, Mi'iki Midi question, which always gets asked in the Gemara in a few cases and in the Rishonim and Achronim and many more. But again, what we're trying to show last year was, no, that's exactly it, right? These are Chumras which flow from Kulas, right? Where if you're worried about efficiency, then Eidav Eidav Bahasra, you know, is on the side of the B'nai Noach, much, much better deterrent, much more efficient. Law and order candidate is going to go for, you know, the B'nai Noach version of Eidav Yedin Basra. But if you're interested in Kol Shem Mishpat, you know, also as a reflection of you know, Tzelem Elokim and Kedusha, you know, you can't take the risk, and, you know, Hasra, you know, plays a role in terms of Chumra Suaveira and Mered. We discussed Hasra last year in the end of the year. And of course, Eidus, and, you know, based on the, you know, Cheskes Kashrus on the one hand, but some of the low plugs to disqualify on the other, and where you need Eidus, and where you need Edikiyah, and where you need Edibir. And again, we could elaborate in each and every one. We just don't need to. But the point I'm trying to make is that in, you know, in the overlap, you really see the difference. Last year we did it in Dinim, but you could do it in every one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, in my opinion. So, for example, Retzach, maybe we'll do more of them, but, you know, the question, a very relevant question to modern life, which is the status of an unborn child, the fetus, the whole abortion, you know, discussion in modern society, you know, there are views in the Rishonim that everybody agrees that abortion is a prohibited act, but that in some respects, it's, you know, it's even worse for Ben Noach than for Yisrael. that for Ben Noach, there are some views in Baal Itosis that for Ben Noach, a fetus is life, or treated as life. And for Yisrael, you know, it's also to terminate it, but it doesn't have the status of full life. So again, you might think that, you know, mi'ikimidi, or wow, I mean, the you know, Bnei Noach are more pro-life than Klal Yisrael. Either they're more in terms of the Hagdara of life, or in terms of the Isser to end a potential life. Again, it's Isser for Yisrael too, but again, it has a different status according to some Rishonim. But it's a great example. It's something to zero in on, like what constitutes life, you know, in a bigger sense, you know, consistent with quality of life. And, you know, again, if you're going to have a low plug and you're interested in stability in society, and a certain, you know, you can only pick, you know, certain principles, that's one thing. And when you can kind of diffuse your presentation, not just the presentation, the application, the manifestation of Kedushas HaChaim throughout everything. So it's just going to, they're going to be kulas and chumras, but it's not, we're of course more machmir in the bigger picture, but there are some chumras which come from, you know, kulas. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, you have this as well. Again, the details are very important. Let's give you an example. And then I'm going to zero in on Ishus in a minute, because that's what we've been doing. Avodah Zarah is a great example also. That's one of the Shemits Bnei Noach. There's a whole discussion whether or not Yichud Hashem is obligatory for Bnei Noach. So again, that's a great topic, right? Because again, the nuance of what constitutes monotheism, that is, non-Jews have to be monotheistic. They can't be over to Avodah Zarah. But what constitutes monotheism in terms of you know, Yichud Hashem is something which, you know, maybe only Jews, you know, can fully appreciate or be expected to be committed to, given other theological emphases and so on. So I wanted to zero in a little bit, since this is our topic this year, on the Ishus part, the Gilui Arayos, some of which we've done. I thought it would be a good idea to expand it just a little more. There's still more to say. So Gilui Arayos is one of the Shemits Bnei Noach. But again, if you put a magnifying glass over it, there are clear differences. And even in the overlaps, once again, there's a different perspective. Even even the fact that our Birchas Seirusin concludes, as we've discussed, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Aydei Chupa V'Kiddushin, and again, responding to the question of the Gaonim, that like, why are we emphasizing Mekadesh Yisrael here? You know, what more than other mitzvahs? So we've been saying all year, you know, and we learned sort of this a couple of years ago, we were saying it, you know, much more extensively even, that, you know, Ishus is a reflection of Kedushas Yisrael. The emphasis on the Kenyan part, the Oser part, the investment, you know, the one step, you know, the two steps forward, you know, that comes from taking one step back. All of those things are very typical of Kedushas Yisrael. You know, what the rabbis talk about is the requirement of matirim, you know, to redeem things, redeem the physical world. But it's even more than that. The truth is, in Bnei Noach, we don't speak about it as Ishus. We speak about it as Gilui Arayos. Right? We have a diffusion of Gilui Arayos and Nashim. Like the Rambam speaks about the same dinim that come under the rubric of Gilui Arayos for Bnei Noach are under the rubric of, you know, Sefer Nashim, and separately, right, Hilchos Ishus and Hilchos Gerushin, and of course, Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Dini Arayos are in Sefer Kedusha. Even the Gilui Arayos part isn't Sefer Kedusha, right? I mean, it's an expression of Kedusha, whereas in for Bnei Noach, it's more Azharaso Zuri Misaso, it's more on the negative side of it. So you know, that in itself is quite interesting. The smack, as we noted, does quote B'davak B'ishto, and so do we, you know, trying to explain what Isha could and should be, idealistically. But, you know, it's necessary for him also, as we noted, to quote Ki Yikach Ish Isha. And a lot of the other Rishonim don't quote B'davak B'ishto. It's an interesting question, you know, how much, even of the idealistic part of Benoach, do you really want to quote when you're talking about Ishus to Yisrael? And I think you could quote parts, especially the parts that were addressed specifically to Adam, Kodem Ached, but in the end of the day, it's an interesting, it ends up being an interesting question, how much do we want to differentiate? So again, our distinction, our discussion about Kodem Matan Torah, L'achar Matan Torah, the role of Kinyan. If you remember our discussion in the Tshuvas HaRivash, the one in Shin Tzadikas, you know, is there such a thing as Pilegesh for a Benoach, right? When the Rivash was trying to figure out whether or not stealing somebody's or violating somebody's Pilegesh relationship is also or not. So he had the idea to say, well, maybe we can derive it from Benoach, right? B'davak B'ishto. So what emerged from the discussion was, you know, some opposite positions, each of which is quite telling. Namely, Yisrael has a Pilegesh and also Benoach has a Pilegesh. Or, not really, right? The Ishus of a Benoach is the equivalent of Yisrael's Pilegesh, which then means either that Benoach's Pilegesh is on a higher level, because, you know, or it's on a lower level, because even if it's Ishus, is a kind of Pilegesh, and therefore it either doesn't have a Pilegesh, or has a much lower one. That was part of the discussion of the Rivash. But what I'm trying to point out is it's this issue exactly, meaning in the diffusion of Kedushas Yisrael, you know, even if you have Pilegesh, it's going to be a separate, you may not even have it, but if you have it, it's going to be a different kind of status. Ben Noach, you know, this is one of the Shevmits of Bnei Noach. But the whole point is that you're starting, you know, from a different place, and that's going to have maybe one of two opposite effects. But in the end of the day, it's still going to be significant. Similarly, and this is a point which we haven't made yet so much, at least emphasize, but in an interesting way, which I don't think is coincidental, the gender perspective. Gender difference perspective of Bnei Noach is different than that of Klal Yisrael. There's much more egalitarianism, if you will, at least on the Isha side of things. As we know, there's no evidence that, the Ben Noach male, initiates the marriage. The way the Rambam describes it, right? Kodem Matan Torah, Ratzahu, V'ratztahi. I mean, he's mentioned first, but there's no indication that there's a ki yikach velot ki tilokach ishaliish. You know, what's that? Okay, because probably still, sociologically and maybe also physiologically, he was the bread earner or the hunter or the whatever and so on. But it doesn't have to necessarily be that way. I mean, anyways, it's imratzahu v'ratztahi. As I say, from what I'm aware, at least, there's no requirement. And get the same thing, as we know, right? And get it's either there's no get, no safety valve, as we discussed in the Yerushalmi, we don't need to go for the whole thing, or the get doesn't require a ksav. I mean, you can have a get, but it doesn't have to be personalized lishma. It doesn't require a matir or a shtar, but also Rambam picks up on the idea that, either he or she can initiate the get, can walk away from the marriage. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, clearly that isn't the case. So again, why is that? But I think, in a way, the question is, why is that? But I think the answer is because the ambition for Klal Yisrael in terms of specialization and the role of family and how family works Just like, you know, Klal Yisrael has Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim, and, you know, a Melech, you know, can only be from Shevet Yehuda. And each Shevet, you know, has its own personality to some extent. Right? So, too, the gender differences are intended to promote, again, equal, but something we talked about last year also, equal but different, clearly, as reflected throughout all of the halacha. But for Benoach, you know, maybe some of those things are necessary, but Ishus doesn't have to be a reflection of that, and that principle of specialization doesn't necessarily, right, have to be as dominant. And that's a function of the fact that we're more ambitious, not that we're more liberal for Bnei Noach. It's not a question of liberalism, it's a question of maximizing religious utility in the bigger picture. So it's also fascinating that when you look at the arayos of Klal Yisrael and of Bnei Noach, you also get a different picture. I mean, the Rambam, based on the Gemara, you know, counts the arayos in Perek Tes of Hilchos Malachim, and they're pretty limited, right? There's no kinyan, there's miskafs in the marriage, and so on, but that may have something to do with it. But the, 1 second. Yeah. Shesha raya sasura salbnei noach. Ha'em, eshes ha'av, eshes ish, achoso mi'imo, zachar u'behema. It's a pretty small list. The only one in that list that works through marriage, interestingly enough, is the father's wife. Father's wife was not your mother. Compare that to the amount of arayos for Klal Yisrael, and also the nature of arayos in Klal Yisrael, right? Which is much more expansive, and much more extensive, obviously, much more expansive, but also qualitatively very different, because the marital relationships create their own reality, right? And that's your marriage, not just your father's relationship, creates a reality. And some of that extends even after Gittin. We're not going to go into details right now, not learning Yavamas, after Gittin and after Misas Haba, or Misas HaIsha. Some do, some don't. So that's a very remarkable manifestation. And of course, in some cases, it depends whether there are children from the marriage, which continue to bind the families together. So do we look at that, again, as simply quantitative difference? Or does that show a whole different perspective on family? Both in terms of the bonds, the impact of marriage, whether marriage is a kind of hesder, meaning it's a kind of an arrangement, it's like a pilagshus, it's a heter, you know, ishus, and some sort of basic or primal or elemental, you know, begida, you know, system, which keeps, you know, minimum kedusha or maybe even more, which keeps a modicum of coherence, you know, and stability in society, both in terms of tracking families and also just, you know, a sense of decency. Whereas for Klal Yisrael, right, the marriage relationship as a kinyan, as an erusin, so on, everything we've discussed, is something that redefines, it's chalos, nidzei dekiyum, right? It creates a new reality. That bond, that new reality, that new family, you know, in its time is much more powerful, and consequently, it's not something that is so easily walked away from. Right, anything that will keep those bonds, or in some cases just objectively, they're there. In a way, and I'm suggesting this, but as we recall, when the Gemara in Kedushin Das Hamechemud Beis speaks about the fact that Hodas Baldin Kemetim Dami doesn't work, you know, in Ishus, and you required a Kiyum, because it's Kavlach Rini, so if you remember, Rashi says that it refers to the Krovei Ha'ish, the Krovei Ha'isha. For what it is, that, you know, that's fine and good and makes a lot of sense. And then we discussed the Rajba's question, what about a ger shenasa giyores, and what the answer of that should be. But in light of what I'm saying now, which is that the arayos configurations of Bnei Noach and Yisrael are so different, you know, both in terms of how extensive they are, that they come through marriage, that they, in some cases, outlast the marriage or the divorce in some cases. So the idea of, you know, chav lachrini, referring to the krovim, right, and that being an expression not just of the fact that there's no hodas balin kemedim dami, but of the chalos of ishus, the fact that it is a new reality, I think is amazing. Again, I haven't seen it, but I think it's an amazing confluence of different things. And again, even on the Arias part, therefore, there is this overlap, but a huge discrepancy, a totally different perspective to what things are. So in the Sefer Kli Chemda, which I happen to see coincidentally, in Parshas Vayera, so he has the following interesting discussion. I think I mentioned it before, part of it. There he quotes in the name of his Rebbe that, you know, Eirusin is like, you know, again, we still have to sum that one up, right? Asar kol alma kehekdesh. So he talks about the possibility, which he, Kli Chemda, then emphatically rejects. It's just not tenable, but it's just a fascinating idea anyway, that you could be shoel on an Eirusin. Just once it turns into a nesuin, you can't be shoel. Shoel meaning like a neder. You can be shoel on an Eirusin, but once it becomes nesuin, you can't be shoel anymore. That would be wild. Meaning the idea is that Eirusin is hekdesh, and you can be shoel on hekdesh. That's one of the reasons he talks about it. Anyways, what he really talks about is the following. And it just overlaps with stuff that we've done and with this topic. So he says like this. The birchas Eirusin that we make, he says, is tamua. Well, we know that, right? For the Rosh and the Rambam and so on. The whole Nusach. He says, we say v'tzivanu al arayos, right? So, of course, there's a negative campaign. But more than that, he has two objections. Number one, Bnei Noach also have arayos. V'tzivanu al arayos. And some people have the klal in Hilchos Brachos that you never make a brach on something that is also a mitzvah Bnei Noach. Moreover, he says, the fact is that, I'm sorry, I'm going over a little into the share. I'm going to give you another 5 minutes because it's related. It says, moreover, if you look at the Rambam, well, before we get to the Rambam, the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Samach Zayinu, at base, seems to say that our Gilei Arayos is Mishpatim, not Chukim. Right, the Gemara talks, you know, Chok Chaktilach, you know, Ein Lecha Rishus Lahar Acharai. You know, the Gemara talks about, Sira Mishtaleach and Paraduma. So they're giving examples. What are Chukim? What are Mishpatim? Right? So Gilei Arayos is Bechal Mishpatim. Says the Kli Chemda. And if you look at the Rambam, it seems that way too, because the Rambam says in Perek Ches, Halacha Yud Aleph, Avichos Malachim, Kol HaMekabel Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach V'Nizar La'Sosan Reza V'Chasidim Asa'ola V'Yesho Chelek Kol HaMaba. And then the question is the girsa velo michachameim or ela michachameim? Okay. So it sounds like the Rambam thinks that the Shevitz Bnei Noach could be followed just out of Svara. Like the Gemara in Yuma, they're Mishpatim, they're not Chukim. And if you look at the next Rambam, which we discussed last week, right, when the Rambam says about the Shevmetz B'nei Noach, he says, Afal pi shekulam hein kabbalah biyadeinu, mimosh rabbeinu, vadas notalahen, right, v'chlal divrei Torah, yirash al elu nitztave. Great. And by the way, it says before he mentions Avram and Achai. That's the Hosif L'Noach, and that's what we talked about earlier. So he talks about Hadas Notalahen regarding the other six mitzvos Bnei Noach, including Gilei Arayos. So the Kli Chemda asks, so some people have a klal in Hilchos Brachos that they don't make a bracha on anything that is, you know, mishpatim. It's a machlokas, Rishonim. According to them, how would you make a bracha on Mitzivanu al Arayos? Okay, good question. The bigger question that he asks, which is a very good question, is, isn't there also a stira in the Rambam? The Rambam here, in Perek Ches, Hilchos Melacha, Melacha Yud Aleph, and Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, based on the Gemara in Yuma, on Samach Zayin Omid Beis, seems to say that Gilei Arayos is Mishpatim, and not Chukim. But, we mentioned this in the past, in last year, in Shmona Prakim, right, Perek Vav of Shmona Prakim, that's the famous, famous Rambam, where he discusses the following, you know, interesting question, right? What is better? Somebody who has cultivated, you know, a certain attunement with Dvar Torah and Halacha, so that he's not tempted, right, to do any Averos, right? Or somebody who, you know, when he walks by the, you know, the pizza, but the non-kosher pizza place, and he, you know, smells the wafting, you know, whatever it is that you smell in pizza. The pepperoni? No. What is it?
Pepperoni.
It is pepperoni. Excellent.
Well,
so whatever it is, like he says, oh, you know, I'm tempted, but Efshi, but what can I, about Ma'asa, what can I do? Right? The Torah said no. The Chassid Me'ula, right, or the Tzaddik. Who's better? Both pretty good, right? So the Rambam's own answer, brilliant answer to this question, very critical answer to this question, is Mimachalek, roughly between, you know, Mishpatim and Chukim, or as he calls them, Shimios and Sichlios. When it's Sichlios, one shouldn't be tempted to murder or to steal, right? You should find that repugnant. And if you don't, then you have to work on that. But as far as, you know, the Chukim parts, let's say, you know, it's fine. And on the contrary, maybe it's even a greater madrega, you know, to be tempted and to overturn your, you know, temptation. So among the examples that he gives about chukim, or not he calls them chukim, unless that's the answer, but shimios as opposed to sichlios, is Gilei Arayos. So Chamda asks, others ask this also, isn't that a stira to the Gemara in Yuma? Isn't that a stira to the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim? Like, what's going on here? Ah. So the Kli Chemda says, part of what I just said, I saw this later, but he says the following. He says, well, maybe the answer to all three of these questions is to be mechalek between the Gilei Arayos of Bnei Noach and the Gilei Arayos of Yisrael. With the idea that the Gilei Arayos of Bnei Noach are very minimal, and they're not based on an extended notion of my explanation. Family, right, with the father as the only exception. And there's no Chav Lachrini in the marriage, mostly. And it's very limited. You know, it's very logical. And as such, you know, it's Bechlal Mishpatet. And in Achanami, we would not be making a bracha on maybe on Mishpatim or on Mitzvos Bnei Noach. So either way, we wouldn't be rhapsodizing about things that Bnei Noach have. Right? But the extended idea of Gilei Arayos for Yisrael, which also includes family, is both more difficult to accept, right? But it's unique to Kedushas Yisrael. Here I would jump in and say that while it is shimios, that doesn't mean it's illogical, it just means that it follows an inner logic. Meaning, if you buy into what Ishus of Klal Yisrael is and what Kedushas Yisrael is, so then this is an incredible manifest. It's not a chok that you don't get, it's not like Paraduma, right? It, or even Sirom Shtalech, maybe. Well, we'll take back. We'll keep Sirom Shtalech out of it for now. But it's an inner logic, but it's not an obvious, you know, standalone logic. So the idea is, so what we're saying, and here I would just also add, we're not saying, you know, his here, we're saying Vitzivanu. We look at Gilei Arayos as an expression of Kedusha and Tzivui, not Azharaso Zui Misaso alone. So the idea is that the expanded view of what Arayos means, and I would add, based on what I said before, and the fact that what is Arayos for Bnei Noach also includes Ishus, right? An egalitarian notion, and, you know, a very primitive or basic, I should say primitive, that's not nice to say that. We'll say elemental or basic notion of Nisuin, of Gerushin, and so on. You know, all of that is consistent with a much more limited idea and application of Gilui Arayos. But for Klal Yisrael, Vitzivanu al Arayos and Chov la'achrini, the inner logic that is consistent with, but requires that bigger perspective, all of that is part of a different story. And that, you know, requires that we sing a bracha, not even just say the bracha. It's a kiyum, and obviously it's emblematic of the whole approach. So this also explains a little bit, you know, something that he also mentions, and that is that, you know, there's no requirement to provide a makar for a Ben Noach that the, you know, Misa Sabal, you know, frees the woman from her marriage. There is such a requirement in Klal Yisrael. So let me just add, we mentioned earlier in the year, the Kones Atzma the Misa Sabal, where I touched on the Trumas Adeshen and Achronim discussion of Eches Eliyahu, and the idea that maybe some perspectives on Eidecha Neman B'Misa Sabal are connected to the idea that Misa Sabal is a matir. It isn't simply that the husband is no longer around and therefore Mimela, right, the marriage is over. But again, this idea that a marriage could transcend the physical life of one of the parties, which of course is part of the story of Zika, of Yibum, as well, is again an expression of how different Ishus Yisrael is so again, many of the things that we were talking about in terms of the Nusach HaBracha and the responding to the Rush, but especially now, I'm trying to add, as an example of the relationship between Bnei Noach laws and Klal Yisrael laws, really are highlighted in this perspective. So we'll stop with this. But this is just another example of, on the one hand, you know, the differences, but even, therefore, you know, the profound difference in perspective, even in the overlaps between Bnei Noach and Klal Yisrael. So, of course, there's a certain appreciation, you know, in that. You know, Baruch Elokeinu Shebaranu Lechvodo. We, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lefika Chirvelem Torah U'Mitzvos. So the, you know, the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos and Makos says that, you know, it provides the opportunity for people to, like, specialize, you know, to find their niche in Torah Mitzvos, all these, you know, ribui mitzvos. And I think that's true. That's part of the greatness of Klal Yisrael and the specialization and diversity that I mentioned before. You know, there's some which is structured into society, to halakhic society, and some in which there's choice even on an individual basis based on need or temperament and inclination and so on. But another aspect of Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lefika Chirba Lahem is also the idea that Shemitz Bnei Noach are very important. And again, I'm not denigrating them, ki huzeh, they're critical. And it's not just the seven, as we know. It's the seven that expands. We'll talk about it in just a minute. Another example, Gezel, right? Lo Titaveh, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, which is, you know, the end of the second Aseres HaDibros and the Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma, you know, for the Rambam, is, you know, included in Gezel of Bnei Noach. Right? So, in each of the Shevetz Bnei Noach, right, there's, of course, a much more limited group of halachos, but also each one is more expansive than its parallel, you know, just like Gilui Arayos includes the marriage laws. Right? And for Klal Yisrael, those are numerous mitzvahs. But another way, then, of understanding that Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, in addition to not mutually exclusive with the Rambam, is exactly this idea that by diffusing it out, you know, and by expanding it, the details, and also even when there's the overlap is identical, by diffusing it in a certain way, the Ribbono Shel Olam was mezakeh Klal Yisrael. He gave them a more challenging, but also more nuanced, a more idealistic, you know, way of life, opportunities of Avodas Hashem. So we don't see that as a burden; we see that as an amazing opportunity. And of course, context of Talmud Torah to study it and to integrate it into our own lives. Okay, we should. We should bench.
I just remember last year we mentioned in the Mabit in the Beis El Kim that he said something about Tshuva.
Yeah.
Because the Bid was in Taryag and Zayin. And you want to say also that it wasn't just because there's less to be in the Chaver for that.
It's a different.
It's just neutralizing Chay for them, but it reflects like a.
For us, it's an opportunity, as we discussed in the Rambam. Tshuva is an Avodas Hashem. It's not just about the neutralizing the past, it's about going well beyond that and self improvement, and that's why it's part of. It's the culmination of Sefer Mada, and it culminates, as we discussed this year also, with Avos Hashem. 100%. Okay, I think the Mabit in Beis Elokim and the Ran in his Drashos often speak about this idea that Bnei Noach, you know, are more expansive in certain details, but it's not because Mikimidi, it's exactly the opposite. We'll see another one in a minute, because we'll talk about Gezel and Pachas Miputa in just a couple of minutes. Okay. I know Shua's a Kohen. Who else is a Kohen? I think Shua's had the... Who? Rami. Oh, yeah, of course.